Our scripture tonight is Philippians 4, verses 4 through 9. Before I read the scripture, our prayer for illumination comes also from Philippians, but from the first chapter. So will you please pray with me? God, our Father, and Jesus Christ, our Lord, as your word is read and preached this evening, may our love abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that we may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Amen. Philippians 4, 4 through 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. This is the word of the Lord.
We all have so much to be thankful for in this season. We have reason to be thankful at all times, but we, of course, pause during this time of the year and celebrate the many, many blessings that we've all received. And here in this passage, Paul reminds us that we need to rejoice in the Lord always. And sometimes we think that that's very difficult to do in the circumstances we are here, because rejoicing, when we think about the word rejoice, we think about really joy that comes, happiness, that our circumstances fill us with this inner joy, and it kind of bubbles out. And it's a very inward thing. It comes from within us. But the word that Paul uses here that is translated rejoice in these verses a couple of times can also be translated, and probably might be better translated, as celebrate. Celebrate in the Lord Jesus. Celebrate always. And I will say it again, celebrate. You see, celebration, as we're considering it here, is a public celebration of the Lord Jesus. And that's why we are gathered here. Stop and think. What do you have in your life? Any of your blessings, anything that you have, where did it come from if not from the Lord? He has given us absolutely everything. And we are to celebrate that fact, and the way we do that is gathering together in celebration and worship and praise of our God. And this is what Paul is talking about in this passage. He's saying, come together, celebrate always in the Lord. Now, sometimes we have very great difficulty in doing that. The circumstances of our lives are very... Sometimes this season, right now, we have some people who have seen the miracles of God given to them over and over again in recent times. And they have great reason to celebrate and be thankful and have gratitude towards God. Others are involved in different circumstances. Grief, sorrow. And yet, Paul says, celebrate even in those times. Paul's concern is worship. Jesus is reason for us to always have great joy in our public celebrations. Now, one of the things that we have to recognize is that as different churches, as we all gather together and as some of us leave to go help others, as we gather in with different churches, we have different traditions, we have different styles, we have different music, but we have one Lord who we gather together to worship and adore. Even though we have different preferences, perhaps, we have one God and one King, our triune God whom we all gather together and worship together. Paul goes on as he talks about this, and he continues, and he says, worship or celebrate in the Lord always. I will say it again, celebrate. And then he says, let your gentleness be evident to all. In our public celebration, in our worship of Jesus, we need to be filled with joy, but we also need to do it with grace and gentleness, he's saying. And I think as I look out and I see different churches gathered here together, I can see that happening as we do that. When I first came to Haines, and it seems like a very long time ago now, we've been here, what, 12 years? When I first came here, I heard a story. I don't know if it's true or not, but it's still a good story. Some children were playing outside their house, and they were just making a racket, and they had a pan, and they were beating on it and walking around in a kind of a parade. And the mother yelled out, "What are you doing?" And they said, "We're playing Salvation Army." And she said, "Well, we're Presbyterians, and we sit on our hands and worship quiet." So whether you sit on your hands and worship quiet or whether there's a big celebration, it's a celebration and a worship of God. But we do it in community, and our churches all need to have gentleness and graciousness towards others. That's what Paul's talking about. So no matter what our styles are, no matter what our music is, we combine the joyous worship of our God with the gentleness and graciousness that we show to those in need as we invite them in and try and minister to them and help them. Now, this combination of joyful worship with gentleness, Paul goes on and says that really leads to three things. There's three things that all come into line when you do that, and when we do that well. The first is, he points out, it leads to prayer that deals with our anxieties. Prayer that deals with our anxieties. We do not need to be anxious, as the puppets were trying to teach us tonight, right? We do not need to be anxious in anything. But we have anxieties, we have fears, we have stress in our lives, we have depression, we have grief, we have sorrow. And as we worship together, as we celebrate and praise God for what He has done, and as we pray in thanksgiving, Paul says that this is really the antidote to all of those problems. It's kind of like the ointment that covers it over. When we go into praise and thanksgiving, God then can deal with our anxiousness, our fears, our stress, the depressions we may have, our sorrows and our griefs. Paul goes on and says the second thing here is that our pattern of thought will change. As we think about and focus on the good things that are demonstrated daily before us in God's very good creation. Sometimes I like to think of this as Paul tells us to think about different things. It's kind of a replacement principle. When you're focusing on your fears, your anxieties, your troubles, your griefs, your sorrows, as you're focusing on those things, if you just start thinking about the beauty that surrounds us, the good things that we have, it's kind of, you're replacing the bad thoughts with the beauty and the grace that God has given us. Now, that doesn't mean that we are not going to suffer. Doesn't mean that we will not have sorrow. doesn't mean that we will not have anxieties and concerns. But it means that as we put them into perspective by seeing the good things that God has blessed us with, it helps bring perspective to us. The third thing is that he talks about in this passage in verse 9 is that by worshiping and praising God joyfully and with grace and gentleness, as we do this, it also leads to a lifestyle change. We can live holy lives, demonstrating to others that we can follow the Lord Jesus and His answers for our lives instead of what we have to do ourselves. No matter what situation we face, no matter what happens, God is still in control. I know sometimes we think that we would like to be in control. Of course, we've all seen the 2-year-old who thinks they're in control, right? And we all like to be that person. We like to be in, but we're not. We're not in control of our situation. We're not in control of our lives. None of us know what's going to happen tomorrow morning. We have expectations. But something can change in a moment. And so God, no matter what circumstance we face, God is still in control of this universe. And thank God that He is. And the other thing that we remember as we look at these, as we praise, think about the things, the blessings God has poured out on us, as we think about these things and we praise Him for it, we recognize that we do not have to be anxious or fearful. Throughout the Bible, over 300 times, the most common command in the Bible is, do not be afraid. Do not be anxious. Why? Because God is near. God is with us, and we can trust in Him. And instead of being anxious and fearful, we need to replace that with something. Because as soon as I tell you, don't worry about something, what do you do? Let me try an experiment with you. I don't want anybody in this room to think about chocolate. Doesn't work, does it? So telling someone, do not worry, really doesn't work. We have to replace it. And Paul here suggests that we replace it with thanksgiving and gratitude and praise. If we replace our worries and our concerns, we can use the when we start finding ourselves being anxious or worrying about something or fearing something, that's kind of like an alarm clock to wake us up to say, oh, this is the time to pray instead of worrying. And if we pray and give thanks, certainly sometimes it starts off almost feeling very false, doesn't it? You start praying, giving thanks. Thank you, Lord, for this air that I'm breathing. Thank you, Lord, for this. Thank you. As you start praying these things, it may sound rote at the beginning. But God will work His miracle of change on you as you start thinking about the good things that He gives all of us. I would invite you right now in your seats to stop and for just a moment just think in your own mind about what God has blessed you with just today. The air we breathe, food, family, friends, a warm place to sit on a cold night, shelter, safety, beauty all around us. What other things can you add to that? God has blessed us all so abundantly, and most of the time we just take those things for granted. We just kind of assume and we go on about our own way. But as Paul has made this list of things to focus on and think about, put these things in your own life and focus on what has happened, no matter what your circumstances. Think about whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is true, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, excellent or praiseworthy. Those are the things that God wants us to think about. And our response to Him is overwhelming praise and thanksgiving. Our hearts need to be humble, we've heard that. But it all starts with gratitude. Gratitude for what God has given us. This Thanksgiving holiday week, stop for a moment and just try and list the many things that you are grateful for. Change whatever you are facing into a joyous celebration of praise for our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.